Turn to John chapter 6 now. Imagine, oh, by the way, we don't have a grill today. Unfortunately, Ying Hong got COVID. We were going to have a grill today, but he couldn't bring it, which only makes this question more pertinent. What if we had today, you know, a bunch of Chinese folk who had come to the United States to visit, and they went to the Bible Museum? I'm talking like maybe, let's say, 50 different families, two big buses, and they went to the Bible Museum yesterday, and then they went and they were interested in Christianity. So they looked up Chinese Christian Church Virginia, and of course our website pops up. And so they show up after our worship service today. 50 families, husbands, wives, kids. What do we do? They want to have a picnic with us. Did you guys bring enough food? What are we going to do? Let's read our passage today. This is the word of God from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias, because that big, big lake was named after that emperor Tiberias in Rome. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Again, signs aren't just miracles, but they have significance. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Now, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Now, 200 denarii is like, I don't know, depending on where you were. It's a year's salary. It's like, you know, whatever you make, $75,000. He's like, Jesus, do you have $75,000? You know. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." Barley loaves were for poor people. Poor family. Andrew says, "But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Notice, the men were 5,000. These people were probably mostly families. They had wives, they had children. So it's not just 5,000 people, 5,000 men. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves from those left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is coming into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Let's pray. Our Father, if this were the word of just men, it would be worth listening to. But this is the word of God. And yet we cannot understand your word without your Spirit. So we pray, pour out your Spirit, that we might understand, believe, and do all that you call us to, with faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. A great friend growing up, his name was Ray. Grew up in the same street there in Dale City. We played football together, street hockey. We'd go in the woods on the rope swing, fall off the rope swing, you know, break bones, all those things kids do together, right? And things were good, but I always knew there were problems in his family. I knew there were problems. I didn't really know the details or anything like that. Ray seemed fine, but when we got into middle school, I noticed that he wasn't really socializing with other people. He was becoming more and more antisocial. And that bothered me, because I knew Ray was a cool guy. We got into high school, We went kind of to different high schools, but the trajectory still remained the same for him. I went off to Virginia Commonwealth University. By the end of my first year, I got the bad news. Whatever problems were in Ray's life, he saw them for all of the magnitude that they were, and I'm sure that they were absolutely massive. And for all of the magnitude of Ray's problems, it's clear from his response that he also saw the magnitude of his inadequacy to address them. It was just too emotionally difficult. And so he got his shotgun, he went into the woods, and he took his own life. There has to be a better answer than suicide. The problems of this world tower above every single one of us. And when we're honest with ourselves, our inadequacy to deal with those problems, whether personally or even as a community, are staggering. But suicide is never the answer. So what do we do? The lesson today is that there is a faith that only sees the massiveness of the problems and the magnitude of our inadequacies to solve them. And there is a faith that sees the magnitude of Jesus Christ. And those are the only two points we're going to look at today. There is a faith that sees the magnitude of the problems and of our own inadequacies, and there is a faith that sees the magnitude of Christ towering over those problems and inadequacies. Let's begin with that faith that only sees the problems. It says Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This is kind of the area where he grew up. Grew up in an area where there are all kinds of different people. Galilee was known as Galilee of the Gentiles, meaning everybody. Gentiles is everyone who's not Jewish. And so Jesus grew up in a diverse community. Probably knew Jews who were half Jewish and half Roman, possibly, like Timothy was half Jewish and half Greek. Jesus knew probably at least some Greek, if not knew how to speak Greek, as well as Hebrew and Aramaic. Verse 2, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing. John's gospel talks about signs rather than miracles. The signs Jesus does are miracles. They are supernatural. But John wants to point out that they have significance. They have meaning. So often in the Gospel of John, the problem is that people only see the mere miracle and they don't see the deeper meaning. Well, they're excited about the signs that Jesus is doing on the sick, like raising up a paraplegic to be able to walk. Jesus went up on the mountain and there he sat down with his disciples. Now, the Passover of the Jews, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. This is going to be significant for the rest of this chapter, this Passover event. But let's concern ourselves now with verse 5. Lifting up his eyes, then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming. I want to point out something. It says Jesus lifted up his eyes. This is like the main verb. Why is John telling us Jesus lifted up his eyes and sees this large crowd coming? Well, if we look in chapter 4, Jesus had just met the Samaritan woman that he wasn't supposed to talk to. Right? The Samaritan woman who was caught up in adultery. The Samaritan woman who Jews looked down on simply for being Samaritan. The Samaritan woman who Jesus' fellow Jews looked down on because she was a woman. Women were at the bottom of the totem pole back then. But Jesus moved towards her. Jesus moved towards her with love. And that has significance for us too. But in doing so, his disciples came back. They said, Jesus, what are you... They didn't say it, but they thought it. What are you doing with this woman? They don't see how this could be a part of Jesus' mission, and nor do they see it could be a part of Jesus' mission for his disciples. But it is. And so in the midst of this conversation he had with his disciples, he said, "Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are ready for harvest." His point is, we are on a mission for God. Humanity was created with a mission, as image bearers, to make the glory of God known in the way that we speak, act, and love. So that the world could be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea, we rebelled against God. We chose not to display His image, but the serpent's. But God loved us, and He sent His Son into the world to crush the head of the serpent and to call His people back into that mission that we were created for. And so He says to them, look at the fields. Don't just look at Jewish people. Look at Samaritan people. Look at Gentile people. Don't just look at the rich people. Look at the poor people. Don't just look at the healthy people. Look at the sick people. Look at the world and see that it is ripe for the harvest. And so, Jesus, lifting up His eyes, sees the harvest coming. He sees this large crowd, 5,000 families, coming toward Him. And Jesus said to Philip, Jesus sees this as a teaching opportunity. He says to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so these people may eat?" Does He point Philip to his adequacy to meet this problem? No. He points Philip to his inadequacy to deal with a massive problem. Why does Jesus do that? To test him. Why do you get tested? Because your teacher wants to know if what you've learned has really been learned. So you can write out on a piece of paper and they can see if you have that knowledge. Oh, Philip, have you learned? Do you have faith in me? Do you see the magnitude of who I am? Or do you only see the magnitude of the problem and of your and our inadequacy? When I say our, I mean the other disciples. What does Philip say? Jesus, are you crazy? Does anybody, we know we don't have a lot of money as your disciples, right? We don't have enough money for these people. Just deal with it, right? We can't do it this time, Jesus. Then Andrew's like, this poor kid over here, he knows what's going on. He gave me 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but I mean, what is that in light of this problem? There is a faith that sees the magnitude of the problem and the magnitude of the inadequacy, and that faith is not the faith that we are after. Jesus wants something better for us. And do you see that if those disciples continue to only see the magnitude of the problem and the magnitude of their inadequacy and their weakness, that mission is not going to go forward. Nothing is going to happen. If Jesus said, "All right, this is in Philip and Andrew's hands," would the 5,000 have been fed? No. You were created with a purpose. You were created with a mission. And Jesus Christ has died to make you right with God and to give the Holy Spirit so that you might fulfill your calling as an image bearer of God, first, to make Christ known, and secondly, in all the different places you are, husband, father, friend, daughter, son, grandmother, whatever it might be, nurse, whatever. These are all a part of your calling that God has called you into mission to make Him known in. But insofar as you can only see the enormity of the problems in your workplace and the enormity of your inadequacy and weakness to even know how to begin to deal with that, the mission of God will not go forward. The intended blessing and goodness that is meant to come through you as an instrument in God's hand will not go forward if you have the faith of Philip and Andrew. You need the faith of the child. Because there is a faith that sees the magnitude of Jesus. It is a childlike faith. Now, who brought that little picnic of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish? It would have been enough for one person to eat. And again, barley loaves were for poor people. It was a child, along with women, the lowest on the rung in Jewish society at the time. They are not only looked down upon in that sense, they were loved, but children are seen, not heard. They're weak. They are dependent. They are not adequate to feed 5,000 people. But that child looked with faith. He probably had heard about the paraplegic who walked. He probably had heard about those sick people who had been healed. And he wasn't a cynic. He wasn't a skeptic. He looked to Jesus and said, I think you can. And here's my picnic lunch. There is a faith that looks to the magnitude of Jesus and gives the little that we have. And Jesus takes the little that we offer, and he does things with it and is doing things with it that you could never imagine. Chinese Christian Church of Virginia, over 40 years old now. When the church started, there was a more significant Chinese community in the area. But over the decades, the Chinese community surrounding our church moved further west, Herndon, Reston, etc. And so there was a question amongst the leadership. What do we do? Do we stay in this place that now we're surrounded by people from Central America and Africa and all kinds of other nations here? Is this where God calls us to? I mean, there are some problems here. We don't speak Spanish. We don't speak Swahili. And if we do stay here, you know, the building is old. Maybe it'd be easier, as some people suggested, to just move out. Go out to Herndon. And maybe that would have been a wise decision. But these elders looked not to the massiveness of the financial problems, not to the massiveness of the cultural and ethnic issues that can come up, but they looked to the magnitude of Jesus Christ and said, we are going to build here. And we are going, in our small congregation of 200 plus people, we're going to try to raise millions and millions of dollars to build a building to address the needs and the problems in this community. It's not about being Chinese. It's about being Christians. And it's about reaching out and bringing as many as can to come to know Christ together with us. And we're still facing a huge problem. We haven't raised all of the money yet. We've seen God provide by bringing One Voice Fellowship, helping us to speak literally 8 to 12 languages of the people around us. We've seen how God has been bringing people into our own fold who can speak Jamaican, who can speak North Carolina, right? And God is doing things. But listen, do you have $100,000 in your pocket? Do you have enough to pay off a $4.5 million building? But we see the magnitude of Christ. And so we face these problems. And we note these problems. It's not as if real faith doesn't look at the problems. It's not as if real faith doesn't look at the inadequacies. Jesus points, Philip, look, you've got a problem. Look, you are weak. You can't overcome this problem. You have a problem with sin. You cannot stop. You have a problem with not liking God. This is a deep problem. You are facing judgment. You are facing hell. You cannot do anything about it on your own, Philip. What will you do? Look to the magnitude of Christ, who towers above the inadequacies, who towers above the problems. We need to practice this every day. I was an early follower of Jesus, and I had a dream. In my dream, I was in some kind of aircraft. I was flying over some cliffs, and then I was coming over an absolutely massive ocean with islands dotting it out in the distance. And I had, just like I do today, my own problems and inadequacies at the time. Maybe that was the sea. Maybe that was the cliffs. But I was flying over them. And as I went out over the ocean, I saw a creature rise up out of the water, made of something like stone or metal or something. And as this creature rose up out of the ocean, I could see its power over the waters. I could see the waters foaming as it rose up, and I could see more and more of its immensity and shape. And my breath was taken away. And I woke up, and I knew that was Christ. I'm not saying it was a dream from God. I don't know where it was from, but I knew what it meant. It meant that I was seeing something I had not seen before. All of my problems, all of my weaknesses, all of my life, I've been trying to deal with them on my own terms and in my own strength. And I had gotten myself nowhere, and even less than nowhere. But God in His good mercy showed me that behind it all and underneath it all and above it all is a Christ of such great magnitude I could never even imagine. Do you see Him? Look to Him. Trust in Him. Bring your problems, bring your inadequacies, and watch Him use the little that you have to offer to do miraculous things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You. You are our hope. You are our love. Help us to see the magnitude of Jesus, O Holy Spirit.